Today I'll be preaching from the book of Isaiah. And so if you have your Bible, open up to the wonderful Old Testament book of Isaiah. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 29, looking at verses 13 through 14. Isaiah chapter 29, looking at verses 13 through 14. And the title of today's message is Worship. Are you really connecting to God? Or are you just going through the motions? Worship. Are you really connecting to God? Or are you just going through the motions? Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13 through 14. Here's what God's word has to say. It says, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Focus on verse 13 again. It says, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God. We come before you, Lord, to worship you. We come before you today, God, to unite with you. Lord, we want to know more about you, God. We want to learn about you. We want to feel you. Lord, we want to come in here one way and leave another, God. If we leave this church the same way that we came in, Lord, then we missed out on what worship is about, Lord. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you would connect to our hearts, God. Whatever barriers, whatever things are causing us to not think about you today, God, and not focus on the word, Lord, I pray that we put those down right now and we just focus on you. We got up early this morning, Lord, to come worship you. We took a bath to come worship you. We brushed our hair and our teeth to come worship you, Lord. So don't let anything that Satan throws at us try to distract us from what we came to do. Jesus, we love you and we thank you for all the blessings you give us, for all the praises at the beginning of the service. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us that we don't even know about, Lord. And we thank you most for dying on the cross for our sins. So one day, if we believe in you, we'll be in heaven too. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how many people in the congregation today like to go to the movies? How many people like to go to the movie theater? Yeah, I like to go to the movie theater. I think it's fun, you know? The movie theater has some excitement about it, right? There's a lot of great things about the movie. You get together with some of your family members and friends. That's enjoyable. I like the smell of that popcorn. How many people try to make that movie theater popcorn at home, but just doesn't work out the same? I mean, as soon as you come into that movie theater, that overwhelming smell of popcorn is exciting. I don't care if you just ate dinner, if you're hungry or not, you smell that popcorn and you're like, oh, I gotta get some of that. And then you see the price, $6 for popcorn. Oh, my Lord. And that's a small? And then you smell it a little while longer, and pretty soon you say, well, honey, do you want some? And she doesn't want to say, yeah, I want to spend $10 on the big bag. But you go back and forth, and eventually you probably end up with some popcorn. But that smell of popcorn is great. Then there's those comfortable seats. If you've been to the Emporia movie theater, it's something to experience. You have leather recliners. I've often said, I don't care what movie's showing. If they have a three-hour movie and I can pay $5 to take a three-hour nap in those chairs, I'm in. I mean, those are comfortable chairs. And so you have that to look forward to. And then I love the way even that my shoes stick to the floor after the kids have spilt all the soda. You know what I'm talking about. You walk in there and... You know, I don't mind that. It's okay. I don't have to clean it up. It's not my house. But most of all, I enjoy the anticipation. It's this movie I've been looking forward to. I can't wait to see it, and so I'm excited. And so what happens is, as the movie gets closer, the room lights, they get dimmer, and they lower down, right? And then the movie trivia comes on, and you try to answer all those very strange questions that if you don't know anything about pop culture, you have no chance of answering right. But then the movie trailers come on, and so it's just all this excitement, all this anticipation is building until the final moment when everybody stops talking, and the movie gets ready to play. It's truly an experience when you go to the movie theater. It's something that you look forward to. It's exciting. It's exciting. I feel the same way when I go to a Christian concert. I feel the same way when maybe I go to a basketball game because I enjoy those. But you get the sense that you're about to experience something amazing. You're about to experience something that you're going to talk about maybe for days in a good way or maybe a bad way. But you're going to experience something amazing. When is the last time you walked into any church and you had that kind of anticipation?
This one.
Hey, that's a great answer. I hope so. But if you think about all that excitement building, the smell of the popcorn, all those things build together into the ultimate movie theater experience. But why do we get more excited about going to a football game, a basketball game, a movie, than we do hearing about the one who created us, the one who saves us from our sin, the one who made the pathway to heaven? Think about that during the message today. Worshiping God should be exciting. It shouldn't be this thing that's dull and boring. You should look forward to worshiping with God. You should look forward to singing those songs. You should look forward to lifting your hands in praise. You should be excited about what God has to tell you when you come to services. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about worshiping God. Amen?
Amen.
I read a story about a church, though, that had a tough problem.
What problem?
Tough problem. There's a pastor there, and he had a problem. They had air conditioning problems. You guys know what that's like. We've had air conditioning problems here before. Does anybody remember? I think it was a Mother's Day service, or maybe it was a Father's Day service, but in one of those, we had no air conditioning. And I mean, there's going to be people coming into these services. So we went to True Value, and we rented that port-a-cool thing, where you put a bunch of water in it. And you always do that after you get it to its location, I learned, by the way. But you put all that water in it, and then you turn on that fan, and it blows that cool mist. And it takes you from a good 100-degree sanctuary to 98 and wet. But you know, it was something. So you know what it's like not to have air conditioning. So this pastor, he says, man, we're building this new church. We got this huge sanctuary, and we need a good air conditioning system. So he calls a contractor, and the contractor comes out there, and he's asking him questions. Well, how many people do you have? How much seating capacity? And the pastor tells him. He says, well, great, okay. He says, he goes, well, tell me about the climate in here. Like, is this going to be, is this where you're going to have two main units to power this area? Or he's just asking him all these different questions, more and more questions. And he's taking notes. But in the midst of all his calculations, he takes this piece of paper and he just balls it up and he throws it down. And the pastor said, hey, what's wrong with you? I mean, I thought we were making good progress here. He goes, you know, I was figuring for a movie theater instead of a church. The pastor said, what does that have to do with anything? It's about the same size as a movie theater. We're going to have as many people here as a movie theater has. Wouldn't it be the same? And the contractor says, nah, not really. The pastor says, well, why? Well, you see, in a theater, with all that's going on, there's biological changes that take place in people's bodies. Their heart rate gets elevated when they get nervous during a movie. Their blood pressure increases. And because of that, their body temperature starts to rise. And so you need some serious power to cool a movie theater. There's a great need for cooling in a movie theater. But a church, well, you know, Pastor. What the contractor was saying is that church services are boring. In a church service, you don't get excited. Your blood pressure doesn't go up. You don't get all anticipation. You're not all excited about what's going to happen in the worship service. He said, church is boring. Church is dead. If people are sitting there at their resting heart rates, you don't need to have this extra good air conditioner like a movie theater would. That got that pastor to thinking. I sure hope you don't feel like that today. I sure hope you know that God is at work in our church. I sure hope you know that God is at work within you. Because I don't know, but the Lord I serve, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So when we gather to worship, you've got to remind yourself. You come to unite yourself with God. You're not here to look pretty for your neighbor. You're not here to smell good for your neighbor. You're here to unite yourself with worship with our Creator. The sustainer of life, the one who holds our eternity in His grasp, the one who gives you the very heartbeat that you just had. That's who you're here to worship. So folks, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, don't let worship be the preview. Let worship be the main event. Amen?
Amen.
Listen again. Think about that. Listen again to what it says in Isaiah 29, 13, 14. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish, and the intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. After sharing the worship experience that we had last Sunday, I read those words, and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. I thought to myself, I don't want to be someone. I don't want our church to be someone who honors the Lord with our lips only, but our hearts far from Him. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us not to do this. Not just to go through the motions of church, but to really experience this worship thing in church. Lord, when I come to worship you, I want to go closer to you, Jesus. I want to see you for who you are. I want to learn about you. I want to be able to praise you. You see, in the scripture we had today, Isaiah was given a tough job. Isaiah's given a lot of tough jobs. You see, in the scripture today, Isaiah's job was really to go to Jerusalem and tell them, hey, your city's going to be destroyed because of your unbelief. It's not a positive message to share with people. He had a tough job. He had to deliver a message, God's message, to these people that were splitting up between the northern and the southern tribes. And Isaiah had to call them to come back to the Lord. Have you ever had to go out to somebody who has drifted far from the Lord? Maybe one of your friends you love so dear, and you've had to talk to them that I think the problem you have is so big, you really need to go to Jesus about it. Like, can we pray together? I've thought that a lot of times, especially when I was younger. But you know what, Bill? I had too much pride to get out of the way. I was like, I'm going to bring that up to this person. They're going to think I'm a fruitcake. Yeah. I'll just pray for them. That'll work just as good. No, God was putting me there to talk to that person, to pray with that person. He was putting me there to say, Alan, are you going to be bold with your faith? Or are you going to run like a chicken with a tail between your legs? What are you going to do? Sometimes I passed the test. Sometimes I failed. But Isaiah, he had to go deliver this tough message to these people that God wanted him to deliver. And the strange thing about this is, if you were to look at this church, if you were to look at this church, these people that Isaiah was talking to, they were doing all the right things. So if he was going to say, you need to turn back to the Lord from your unbelief, they may have argued with him. They say, I haven't gone anywhere. You see, we're still in the synagogue every week. We're going to church. We're still saying all the right prayers. We're doing all the sacrifices we're supposed to make. We're doing everything a good Jew of my time would do. So they would have said, I'm already doing everything that God wants. But the problem was, they were merely going through the motions. Going through the motions. So God was going to bring judgment upon them. See, religion became routine instead of real. They didn't come anymore for the anticipation to see what God was going to do. They just did it because they were supposed to do it. Said, I'm just going to go to church because that's the right thing to do. That's what I'm going to do. Why do I serve? Because I'm supposed to. Why do I pray? Well, because I have to. That's what Christians do. Why am I nice to people? Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what they were doing. They were doing all the right things, but their heart wasn't in it. Their heart was far from God. You see, God's more concerned with your heart than he is with your actions. You can do all the right things, say all the right things, wear all the right things. It doesn't matter if your heart isn't right. The question wasn't, are you doing those things? The question was this: why are you going to the synagogue? Why are you saying all those prayers? Why are you meeting with God? That's the question. Not are you, they were. The question is why? And you know how they would have answered? Because somebody told me to. Because somebody told me to. Makes me wonder about us, church. As the pastor, you wonder about things like this. So why are you? Why am I at church this morning? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm glad you're here. But why are you here?
Praise God.
I mean, why did you come to Sunday school this morning? Or why did you come to Sunday school? Might be a better question. But why do you do those things? You sang a couple hymns, sang a praise and worship song. You did some praying. We sang some "This Little Light of Mine" with the kids. But why? Did you do it just because everybody else was doing it? Did you do it because that's what you're supposed to do? Or did you do it because you're really trying to connect to God somehow? Think about it. When you sang those hymns, did words even come out of your mouth? Didn't you even think about the words that you were singing? I got to tell you, I've been guilty of that many times. And I've been blaming it on because I didn't know the words of the song, but it's because I'm tired. Pastor won't notice everybody else is singing. I'll just kind of sit there and doze a little. You know? How many times do you come, and this is a personal message to our church. I mean, it may be to everybody in the Bible, but I believe God gave me this message for you and for me. And so the question I'm asking you is, how many times do you come to church and go through all the motions and then leave without ever really being at church? Without ever really worshiping God? Because worshiping God is more than your body being present. It's more than your mouth just saying the right things. Kind of reminds me of a story about a little boy. Mom took him to church. Little boy was good. Little boy told his mom, "Mommy, I have to pee." So the mom looked at the boy. She said, "We don't use the word pee in church." "Shh." He said, "Well, Mom, I gotta pee right now." "We don't use that word in church. Just tell me you gotta whisper instead." "Okay, I gotta whisper." And so the mom took him out. Door slammed. Kid went to the bathroom. Bathroom was right behind the sanctuary, kind of like Bethel Baptist Church. And you heard the kid going to the bathroom in there. Flushes the toilet, comes out. Then the mom can't come for the next day. She's sick, so the dad brings him to church. And the kid says to Dad, "Dad, I gotta whisper." And he goes, "Okay, fine, just do it in my ear." Kid goes, "Okay." You see, sometimes the meaning behind the words is more important than the words themselves. It's great that you're here in church. It's great that you're singing songs. It's great that you're worshiping and praying. But are you really connecting with God? That's what I'm asking you today. That's the million-dollar question. You see, these Israelites, God knew why the Israelites were doing those things. He knew that they were going to church because somebody told them. They were praying because somebody told them. They were singing because somebody told them. They were doing it because their hearts were right. They didn't do it out of reverence for the Lord. They didn't do it because they wanted to connect with God or worship God. They didn't do it because they want to feel His presence. They just did it because they were supposed to do it. And the real reason we're supposed to be here this morning is to worship God, to connect with Him, to sing praises to Him, to worship Him. Like I told you in the beginning, is your relationship with Jesus one where you're like, "Hey, Jesus, good to see you way over there. No, I don't need anything. I'm good. Have a good day." Or is it one where you're shaking His hand? "Boy, I'm so glad to see you again today." Or is it one where you wrap your arms around Him and say, "Lord, I couldn't live another minute without You"? Where's your relationship with Christ today? What's your worship experience with Jesus Christ today? The interesting thing about the prophet Isaiah saying this, saying, you know, "You honor Me with your lips, but your hearts are far from Me." Isaiah didn't just say that. When he said it, Jesus also requoted it in Matthew chapter 15 when he was getting after those hypocrites, those Pharisees. Listen to what he says there. He says, "Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law, now they arrive at Jerusalem to see Jesus. And Jesus asked them, the Pharisees asked Jesus, 'Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? They ignore our traditional of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat.' And Jesus said this to them." He says, "Hey, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? Disrespect." And so God says, "Honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of their father and mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you.' In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. Their worship is a farce, and they teach man-made ideas instead of commandments from God.'" Church, I'm not here to point fingers at you. I love you all. But I believe God gave me this message to make you think of why do you really come to church? If we want to be called God's people, we have to be obedient and worship Him honestly. We got to slip out of this automatic just doing it because I do it thing. You got to come here to meet with your Creator. In the Bible, several places it says, you will find God when you seek Him with what? All your heart. Part of your heart? All your heart. You won't find Him if you halfway try to go find Him, will you? No, you got to go after Him with all your heart. You know that scripture is so important. It's all over the Bible. It's in Jeremiah 29:13, Deuteronomy 4:29, 1 Chronicles 28:9, and many other places. So I ask you, friends, are you here seeking Him with all your heart? Only you can answer that. You know the truth. But I want you to think about it. Because it could be a life-changing question. Are you seeking God with all your heart? You want God to do all these things for you. Are you seeking Him with all your heart? You see, God is seeking, actively seeking real worshipers. In John 4:23, Jesus declares, "The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks." Worship is defined as reverent love and devotion to God, a connection between us as God's children to our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a bond that can only be expressed by emptying ourselves and accepting the fullness into God. You may be here today and you wonder, why does George stand up during the reading of God's Word? Why does Ron, a grown man, have tears in his eyes when we're singing songs like, "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified"? I mean, sure, it's a great song, but why does he have tears in his eyes? That's the way those two men connect to God. That's the way those two men worship the Lord. You may say, well, I look over and I see somebody with their eyes closed while we read the message, like they're falling asleep. Maybe that's how they're thinking about the scripture and they're worshiping the Lord. You know, instead of worrying about what other people are doing, why don't you figure out how you can worship the Lord?
Amen.
I mean, I love you, but you need to know the truth. Who cares what anybody else is doing? I came here to meet with God. Why did you come here today? Every time we walk through the doors of this church, we have an invitation to meet our Lord and Savior. But if we're honest with ourselves, we often come to worship with a lot of barriers, a lot of things on our mind. Because for most of us, this is the only place we can find peace. And so once we find that peace, we start thinking about things. Start thinking about the lunch plans we made, home projects we have to complete, phone call we forgot to make. Barriers that distract us and truly keep us from connecting to God the way we want. Every time you worship, every time I worship, we run the risk of becoming a people who honor God with their lips, but not with our hearts. I don't want to be the Israelites. I don't want the Sunrise Free Old Baptist Church to be the Israelites. You know what they had to go through? Man, they had to ask for food from heaven and get manna. I like Pizza Ranch. I don't want to have to go through that. Seriously? I mean, fire rained down. I mean, the ground opened, swallowed up people that died. Like, do you really want to go through all that? That's terrible. Can we not just really get rid of these barriers and say, God, I want to meet with you and meet with Him? You know why there's so many churches, yet America's in the shape it's in today? Because people aren't worshiping God. They're coming to church, but they're not really meeting with God. We could be different than that, church. We are different. Look at us. We're all different. We all have weird backgrounds, different people. We have different quirks. We don't have to be like anybody else. We just got to be the people God wants us to be. Who does God want you to be? How does He want you to worship Him? I don't want to be a people who honor God with my lips, but be far from my heart. So I want to encourage you today. I don't know how you worship today. Only you know. Only God knows. But I want to encourage you today to think about this. Whether you ever come back to our church, and I hope you do, or you go to a church 30 years from now, I want you to think, when you walk in there, why are you going there? Because if it's not to worship God, then you went for the wrong reason. You missed out on what was going to be given. It doesn't matter how good the sermon is. It doesn't matter how good the songs are. It doesn't matter how good the prayers are. None of it matters if you didn't go there to meet with God. So what way do you like to worship? Some of you might sing louder. Some of you might lift your hands. Some of you might drop to your knees in the middle of the service. Some of you might just sit quietly listening with an open heart. Doesn't matter what form you're worshiping, as long as you're meeting with God. I'm a simple person. I don't use big words people can't understand. I'm a simple person. I relate worship to things that are normal to me, like eating Oreos. I'm just being honest with you. You could take an Oreo and you could nibble on it for a while. For an hour, if you want. If you have that kind of patience and courage. That's like eating one Pringle. I don't know how you can do it, but you might be able to do it. You can eat an Oreo by twisting it, licking the frosting out, and then eating each side. If you do that when you're on a diet, it's cool because it's like you got two cookies for one. Or you can eat an Oreo like I do with some milk. And you don't waste time. There's a row that needs to be taken care of in that bun. And you take that Oreo and you dip it in that milk. And once it gets right before that point where it falls out of your hand and sinks to the bottom of the glass, that's a failure, by the way. Don't do that. You failed if you did that. It desecrated the Oreo. But you dip it in there. Once it gets nice and soggy, the perfect moment, you pull it out and you eat that whole thing. That's how you get a row done in a few minutes.
Exactly.
But you know what? No matter how you eat the Oreo, at the end of the day, the Oreo's gone, right? You know, worship's the same. It doesn't matter how you worship. I'm not here to tell you how to do that. There's no book on that. And if somebody tells you how to worship, walk out of that place. God created you individually, you unique, and only you know how you can connect to God. The pastor doesn't know, your wife or husband doesn't know, and neither your mom or dad. You know. I've been a Christian for over 25 years. And when I meet with God, I worship every time with Him in different ways. It's never the same. I want to share some things with you just to give you an idea of different ways of worship. I worship the Lord through song in at least 7 of the 50 states in the U.S. I went to the Lord in prayer at 4 different churches in Ireland, in Northern and Southern Ireland, and got on my knees on their kneelers, and I prayed for their country and for their people to find the Lord. I worshiped God while reading my Bible when I found Jesus as my Lord and Savior in Fort Knox, Kentucky, in basic training. I sang hymns with a handful of people before in a church named the Sunrise Real Baptist Church, which is 3 or 4 people. I've been blessed to sing choruses and praise songs with the leaders of Mercy Me, Bart Millard himself, that you just saw in that movie, I can only imagine, Casting Crowns, the Paul Coleman Trio, and Stephen Curtis Chapman. Met him, sang with him, worshiped with him. I sang Jesus Loves Me in Spanish with over 100 different kids at a vacation Bible school in Matamoros, Mexico, during a mission trip. I've prayed with people in the country of Abu Dhabi who used to be Muslim and are now downloading notes, messages, and Bible studies from our church website to preach to the people there. I've bellowed out the words of Amazing Grace with over 17,000 Christian men at a Promise Keepers conference in San Antonio, Texas. I worship God around a campfire at a men's retreat here in Kansas, singing a cappella. And I worship God in complete silence at these altars many times during the week. There's no one way to worship God. But I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart that if you don't come here to worship God, you really missed something special. And I don't want you to miss that.
I want you to get that. You might get it out of a sermon. You might get it out of one of the songs. I don't know what you'll get it out of. But I want you not to miss meeting with God when you come here to our church. So I ask you again, what is keeping you? What barriers in your life stop you from meeting with God? As I get ready to close, I want you to think of that. What barriers stop you today from meeting with God? Maybe you've never worshiped God quite like this before. I have some friends in here who came from different backgrounds, Pentecostal backgrounds, Catholic backgrounds, and this is just a lot different than what they're used to worshiping. And so maybe your barrier is you don't really feel comfortable worshiping the way you would in those other churches. Don't worry about what other people think. Meet your Lord and Savior the way you meet Him. Maybe the barrier that you have today is distractions. As you worship, you're not able to focus on God because you're thinking, did I turn the curling iron off? Did I forget to look at that Sunday school lesson? Oh no, there's Lewis. Yep, I did. Oh yeah, there's Daryl. I meant to call him yesterday, but I forgot. Where should we go for lunch? Pizza Ranch? Good Sense? What are you in the mood for? There's only one solution to those distractions. You've got to stop them. You've got to pray to God and say, Lord, help me kick these things out of my mind. Maybe it's the barrier of inexperience. I don't know who this Jesus guy is I'm supposed to worship. I'd love to be loved the way that pastor is talking, but it's never happened in my life. Don't let that become a barrier. Let your walls down. Listen to the words of the song. You don't have to sing it. Listen to what the pastor's saying. Ask Jesus, hey, if you're real, show yourself to me. I want to see you. Don't let that be a barrier. There's two ways to overcome inexperience. Just like there's two ways to jump in cold water. I mean, you got two choices. You could dip your little foot in there. And then you get the rest in. It comes up to about here, and then you're... And then it comes up to here, and you're like, not too bad. Or you can just dive in. It's up to you. You're going to get wet either way. Just make sure you get wet. Don't give up. Maybe it's the barrier of embarrassment. Maybe you got some pride in your life that's keeping you from worshiping the Lord. What will people think of me if I clap during a song? If I raise my hands or stand during the reading of God's Word? With as much gentleness as I can muster to you, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. So what? Who cares what they say? Who cares what they think? Who cares? You're here to worship God and unite with Him. Who cares what your neighbor thinks? So I close the message. I want to close with a simple illustration. We do this during a school one time, trying to build kids' confidence. And so we did. So we set up chairs everywhere. All over the place. And we let the kids wander around through the chairs, tag them, one through the chairs again. And then what we did was, we shut off the lights and we blindfolded the kids. And we took all the chairs away.
Oh, that's mean.
And what the kids did, yes. But what the kids did, is they were blindfolded. They couldn't see. Last time they saw the pattern that they went through the chairs. So they're blindfolded. Walking around through where they think the chairs are. But all the barriers were gone. There's no chairs to watch out for. You know, that's what God has done for you. You think there's barriers in your way, but there's not. He's taking them all away. He said, man, I want you to meet with me when you come to church. I want you to meet with me when you go to the Lord in prayer at your house, when you talk to Him when you're driving. Those barriers you think that are really there, I took those chairs away. Open your eyes, there's nothing. So as we close today, ask yourself, are you one that honors God with your lips, but your heart is far from Him? And if you are, there's no shame in that. There's always time to make it right. Maybe you're here and you said, you know what, I've been coming to this church for 10 years, and I needed to hear the sermon 10 years ago, because for 10 years, I've only been getting this much out of church. Because you didn't realize there were barriers that were stopping you. Jesus wants to meet with you today. There's no question about that. The question is, do you want to meet with him?
Worship. Why do we worship? Do we come here to meet with God? Or are we just going through the motions? Stand and let's bow our heads as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God, as a changed people. Lord, we may come in here with an attitude of coming to enjoy and have a joyful time and a great worship service. But we might not even have known what that meant. But God, we can leave here today a changed person. We can leave here today a person who says, I know what worship's all about now. Man, I can't wait. I wish we had another Sunday service right now so we can start over and I can do this again. Or maybe you're here and saying, I'd love to open up like that to the Lord. I'd love to forget about all my problems. They're so big, Pastor. You don't understand. Well, I don't know your problems. I don't know what everyone is struggling through, but I know how big my God is. And I know Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't worry. Just go to him in prayer. Maybe there's somebody here that says, I need to come up and pray. I got a big problem in my life, and I just want to come and pray at the altars and meet you, God. Maybe there's somebody here that says, you know what? I've been missing out on this worship stuff. Lord, I want to figure it out. You want to come up here and say, God, help me to worship. Maybe there's somebody in our congregation today that wants to come forward and pray and say, Lord, our church needs to learn how to worship. I want to pray for the Sunrise Real Baptist Church to learn about worship. I want them to know God like I know God. Maybe you just want to come and talk to God about that. I don't know what you need to come and talk to God about. I don't know what you want to come and talk to God about. But you came here to connect with God. This is part of worship. Don't miss the wonderful experience you can have by meeting with him at the altar today.